I'm Erin Fairbanks, reporting for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're checking in with our food community to see how everyone is holding up in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. So I'm here with John Besh. John, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, many people in the food community kind of look to you during the rebuilding process and recovery process. And we're curious, you know, as we look to recover from Superstorm Sandy, given what you've been through, do you have any advice specific to the restaurant or food community that you could share with us?
You know, I think we found ourselves in a situation where we had the ability to marshal resources that could help other people rebuild their lives, help other restaurants get back on their feet, and in effect, you know, really help the community resurrect itself. And it's a little different because we had 200 miles around us of destruction that had lost all of its any sort of logistical know-how to get products to and from, electricity, not to mention the flooding that lasted in some cases up to 6 weeks. And so dealing with that, we really had to look to ourselves. And government, you know, FEMA in particular, can only do so much. It's the government. They move slowly. And so I thought what we saw is the opportunity to get out there and just help feed people. And that was first on our list. And people need basic things. They need food, water, shelter, and security. And so if we could aid in any and all of that, then we were really doing our jobs and helping our neighbor. And so that's how we began to mobilize. And one thing led to another, and then we started reaching out to other people who had similar problems, and we found ways that we could maybe we could negotiate these hurdles that we were up against. And slowly, each one of us, working with neighbors, managed to find a way to crawl out of the situation that we were in. In New York, it's going to be it's similar in some respects, is that the places that were hit were hard hit. In such a way that it's really hard to describe unless you were there. And so knowing that it would be a while to get back on their, you know, on their feet, you know, places like Lower Manhattan, Staten Island, and of course out in Queens, it will be a while before normal returns, and normal will probably perhaps be changed forever.
And I know, you know, as food professionals, I think there's a real kind of driving instinct in times of crisis of any nature to feed people, that's kind of the tool that we're most familiar with to bring comfort to people. And I'm curious if there were other areas that stood out to you as being particularly important as you looked at the, you know, rebuilding of communities. Other industries that you reached out to, whether it was the legal profession or contractors, or if there was anyone that we should be looking to make alliances with now, in particular in these communities that have been hardest hit?
You know, it's really all the above. It takes such a network of professions just to navigate the gambit of problems that people are dealing with. So that, for instance, insurance. We had huge issues here with insurance policies. You know, you believe them. In our mind, we think we have an idea of what that policy is until we actually need to call upon the insurance for its purpose. Then come to find out there's a fine print that we didn't know about. And then that brings in the legal community. There are a lot of there were a lot of obstacles there where we had issues with insurance, for instance, where wind insurance, you know, your general insurance that would cover wind wouldn't cover wind because they said it was water damage. The flood insurance people said no, it wasn't water damage. The water toppled the levees because of wind. And so these silly games of semantics that the insurance played, you know, caused us to start to reach out and network with the legal community, which in turn, at the end of the day, you need great contractors that you can trust. There were a lot of scams going on, a lot of people moving into the city after the storm with no real credentials and posing as contractors themselves, which later would prove to be would later prove that they weren't contractors at all. They didn't carry the proper insurance or bonding, and these just horrid scenarios that we would go through just in trying to get ourselves up on our own 2 feet. And so it took a combination of efforts, you know, bringing all of the above in and marshaling those resources to help speed along the rebuilding effort.
And I'm curious, you know, I know in the aftermath of Katrina that there are certain neighborhoods that, you know, didn't see a rebuilding effort or revitalization effort. And I think there is some concern here in particular with folks who are impacted in the Rockaways that there might not be a real effort to rebuild, you know, what was there, but kind of a push to rebuild in something else. And so would you have any suggestions as to like how we work to avoid displacing communities and if there's a role for, you know, restaurants or food businesses to play in particular in making sure that those communities, you know, don't essentially disappear as a result of the storm?
Yeah, that was, you're really speaking to what it is that we were all about when we when we were faced with some of these, you know, the tragic losses of so many of our neighborhoods. It also hit me that we would lose part of our culture. And so in the process, that's what sparked our the creation of our foundation in particular, the Chef John Besh Foundation, where we would start to invest in the those things that sustain our culture, and that being our foodways, our people, our farming, our fishing, and certainly making sure that all parts of our population, and specifically the African-American minority groups in New Orleans, we didn't want to see this become a new American, more or less whitewashed city. And so we had to pay particular attention to make sure that what we would get would ultimately be the rebuilding of the right city for the right place, which is down here. And so it's caused us to really give focus to a lot of focus to our educational system, getting involved. And so now we have a charter school system, which is much better off than it ever was prior to the storm, with a much more, I think, much more civic involvement than we've ever had before, just from the general public, not just parents, but concerned citizens who might not even have children within the schools. And so we've had to work on many different levels to make sure that we brought in the right change so that we could preserve what was special about the city in the first place. And then repair and allow this progress to take place in other aspects of these neighborhoods that truly needed revamping.
And I'm curious, one of the programs that you guys run now is a scholarship program for youth who you, I think you essentially fund a year for them at the International Culinary Institute, the French Culinary Institute, for them to then return and continue exploring the foodways of Louisiana. And can you tell us a little bit about that program's impact and what your hopes for it are in the future?
Yeah, it's really an interesting program where had a problem, not just with the storm, but prior to the storm, in our case, Hurricane Katrina, we had issues with crime, period, especially among the inner city African-American youth who were undereducated and just really, I think, just part of our population that had been left behind. And so we thought, well, what are we going to do about it? What we saw was an answer is that I'm able to enjoy a wonderful life as a professional chef and as a restaurant owner here in New Orleans. But how many of those people within our community realize that this is even possible? And that if I could expose people to this and then finding the folks with the smarts and the tenacity and the drive to want to become a professional chef, well, then we could help remove them from their surroundings in a very bad neighborhood with a lot of violent crime, move them to an educational program like the ICC has, or formerly the French Culinary Institute, allow them to gain perspective in life by seeing a different world, by seeing Manhattan, by working with mentors like Rachel Ray and Marcus Samuelson and Ron Sanchez. They would then be able to finish their studies, come back to New Orleans with a much greater perspective of what life outside of New Orleans is all about. And ultimately, we want these individuals to stay in New Orleans and to really spread the good word of what we're doing here and what the possibilities are, and giving, you know, dignity to people who deserve it.
That's wonderful. And just my final question, you know, because I think people might be interested in hearing a little bit of a ray of light. I'm hoping that you can share with us maybe a short story about some like unexpected benefits because of Katrina, you know, something that happened or that was born out of the storm that wouldn't have existed otherwise and is really basically defined by that natural event.
Well, really, that's most of my life and the lives of people that I work with on a daily basis. That, for instance, we started feeding people for free after the storm, which was just a good deed, and I think something that anybody with the ability to do so would have done. And so we started feeding people, and then it just so happened to turn out that we then had companies that needed their people fed of Murphy Oil and Exxon and all the big Shell and all the big oil refineries down the river needed to bring people in to get these oil refineries up and running. And so we started running food to the refineries, feeding people. So that automatically created a business, which allowed me to employ people again. And so then we started a process of asking anybody who needed a job, needed a place to live, to come down, and we would help them get back on their feet. And so just by feeding people for free led to a life-saving or, you know, a lives-changing business venture, creating this new company, which was steeped in mass catering, which we'd never done before. And so one thing led to another, which led to another, to even today, just after the storm, we weren't feeding people necessarily in New York, but I had people in my company up there working with FEMA, making sure that the supplies and water and food got to the neighborhoods that it needed. We had people just after the earthquake in Haiti, which essentially did the same thing, making sure that the marshaling of resources truly worked for the people. And these are things, there's a number, you know, of little things like this that happened during Katrina and after Katrina that really dictated the way that, you know, we would live ever since. And so I could go on and on just talking about, you know, these few small pay-it-forward opportunities that have been paying dividends ever since.
Wow, great. Thank you so much for joining us, John. And if folks want to learn more about your foundation and work, they can find you at www.chefjohnbesch.com. And we look forward to kind of staying in touch throughout the recovery process. I'm sure we'll be looking back to you for advice and encouragement. Thanks so much.
Well, I think I'm going to be up there. I'll be up there in a couple of weeks cooking a dinner with some other chefs at City Grit down downtown, trying to raise money for different efforts. And so I encourage people to get out there and see what's happening in their neck of the woods that might benefit all the people suffering because of Sandy.
Follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio or on Facebook, Heritage Radio Network, for updates and more info on the response to Superstorm Sandy.